This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking Packers football. We're getting ready for a game on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons as the Packers try to keep their playoff hopes alive. Packers got to hope the Detroit Lions lose twice the rest of the season, at least twice, if the Packers want to make the playoffs, if they want to win the NFC North Division, a possibility that is certainly not out of the realm of happening, but we'll be keeping tabs closely on what the Lions do the rest of the season, the Bears as well, but the Packers have an upcoming game with the Bears where they can basically take care of business there. I think we got to start this week with the discussion of the Packers offensive line, because I think it's important on several fronts. The news from Wednesday onward, basically, couple injury or illness situations along the Packers offensive line, kind of complicating matters in Green Bay. First of all, if you watch the Packers, you know, center Evan Dietrich-Smith had a knee injury coming out of the Detroit Lions game. Second knee injury of the year, kind of a concern. I was concerned that he might be shut down for the season, but didn't end up being that bad. He was actually able to return to practice on Wednesday, the first day of practice for the week for the Packers. And then, as fate would have it, Evan Dietrich-Smith rolls his ankle later in Wednesday's practice, has another injury that set him back, and he's been out ever since. Now, I don't think it's a terrible injury, rolling an ankle, spraining an ankle. Certainly it doesn't look like he's going to be out for the rest of the year due to the ankle. But at least temporarily, it has complicated matters. And this is on top of an illness to starting left tackle David Bakhtiari. He apparently, according to head coach Mike McCarthy, went home yesterday with illness, with cold or flu or whatever he may have. And so he wasn't at practice on Thursday for the Green Bay Packers. So the Packers, at least, again, temporarily here, without their starting preferred center, without their preferred starting left tackle, in quite a bit of a quandary. I mean, obviously, being down two starters, I mean, that's not a good thing. But for a team that, you know, kind of wants Aaron Rodgers to play, if healthy, I mean, you certainly have to think twice before putting your star quarterback in a game in which the blocking in front of him is missing two of your best guys. So, I mean, that's the crux of the problem here as I see it. And what I want to do is have a little bit of fun here. And if I could, I mean, let's just assume, and this is just hypothetical, and it shows what the Packers at least would have to do, what they did at practice yesterday, what they might have to do at practice today, even if these guys are available Sunday, and it looks like they might be able to. But I mean, if worse comes to worse, I'll throw this out. What is your preferred starting offensive line if Bakhtiari and Dietrich-Smith are out? Please throw out your answers on the live blog. I want to read some of them off. See what you guys have to say here, you know, left to right, you know, assuming Bakhtiari's out, assuming Dietrich-Smith is out, what would be your starting offensive line? And I'll throw mine out here as people start to, you know, throw their guesses in here, throw their thoughts into the mix. You know, I would have to go, and I know people are going to balk at this, but at left tackle, I would put Marshall Newhouse in at left tackle. I know he's played very, very badly for the Packers this season. He didn't exactly do great for him at left tackle before that, but at least he has experience. So, you know, my preferred offensive line would be Newhouse at left tackle, Sitton at left guard, Lang at center, Don Barclay at right guard, and Derek Sherrod at right tackle. That would be my offensive line if it happened to go out down that way. And here we go. I see John on the live blog throwing in his two cents here. He says, it's exactly the same as mine. Nuo, Sitton, Lang, Barclay, Sherrod. And I'm looking for some other people throwing in their guesses on the offensive line here as well. I'm trying to see as the answers are scrolling by here. Jamie asks if there will be if there's a chance of a practice squad center moving up. And that is a good question, by the way. Of course, the Packers have just TJ Lang at center now. And if he were to go down, you have to think that Don Barclay would be the next guy up. But neither of those are exactly what the Packers want. That's not a good situation. I mean, you don't even want TJ Lang at center to begin with. I mean, he's like their fourth string option. If everybody's healthy, if everybody's available from the beginning of the season, I mean, you'd have Evan Dietrich Smith, you'd have Greg Van Roten, you'd have JC Tretter, and TJ Lang would be like your fourth best option, which the Packers unfortunately have come to. You know, right now, but I mean, if everything worked out as expected, as hoped, TJ Lang would be at right guard and you wouldn't have to worry about all this. So, I mean, do you bring up a guy like Garth Gerhart from the practice squad? I think you would. Depending upon how much Evan Dietrich Smith is injured, which I guess, though, he doesn't look like he's going to miss an appreciable amount of time. He's not going to miss the rest of the season. He's not going to risk the next month. So, yeah, maybe you don't go that far. The Packers certainly don't want to have to cut anybody if they don't have to. Of course, they did earlier in the week with the release of Jerron McMillan, one of the few roster moves the Packers have made this year from simply just parting ways with somebody. They parted ways with Jeremy Ross earlier in the season. They parted ways with Jerron McMillan now. Kind of interesting that the Packers kind of made that move. All the rest of the situations were, you know, mostly guys going to injured reserve, things like that. Packers have 12 players on season-ending injured reserve right now. They got Randall Cobb on short-term injured reserve. So, you know, there's been a lot of other roster moves the Packers have made. The situation here with Barclay at right tackle right now, I think if Evan Dietrich Smith misses, I think what you have to do is move Barclay inside to right guard. You see how poorly Marshall Newhouse did at right guard in the Lions game. Couldn't handle Ndamukong Suh. Granted, few people actually probably would do well against him, but a few backups, I should say. So I think what you do, Don Barclay, he's your best backup guard on the team. He's the most physical guy on the team. I think at this point, you kind of take your chances with Marshall Newhouse and Derek Sherrod at the tackle positions on the team. And again, yeah, Marshall Newhouse, he hasn't been all that great at tackle in the past, but at least he has that left tackle experience. He did do good in games. Like, there were individual games you can point to in his career and say, like, yeah, he did good. I can remember being so enthused about the play of Marshall Newhouse in the 2012 season. The 2012 season opener against the San Francisco 49ers, he went up against Justin Smith and Alden Smith for a good portion of that game and basically pitched a shutout, basically held those guys without a sack. I remember being so enthused about the 2012 season opener and how well Marshall Newhouse played. That game ended up being a loss for the Packers, but Newhouse played well. And I thought that was really, could have been a harbinger of things to come, but it didn't end up being that way, as we all know, how things have played out for Marshall Newhouse since that time. But anyway, Derek Sherrod got playing time for the first time in 2 years this past Thanksgiving Day game against the Lions, for a brief time at right tackle. I think he played, what was it, the last six snaps of the game or something like that. But it's been baby steps for Derek Sherrod ever since coming off the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. You know, first it was just, you know, a step that he was able to come back and practice. You know, he got that 3 week window. After that, the Packers elevated him to the 53-man roster. And he started off his first two games by just playing special teams. I think he was on the field goal protection unit, and that was a step in the right direction. And then this past game, he gets a few snaps at right tackle. But now, I think it's time. I think it's clear that Marshall Newhouse has played poorly in literally every game he's played this year. I don't think the Packers can go look at him again unless injury necessitates it. It's time to give Derek Sherrod his shot at right tackle if it's there. If everybody's healthy, he can stay down. Your preferred offensive line, if everybody's healthy, is Bakhtiari, Sitton, Dietrich Smith, Lang, and Barclay. And then Derek Sherrod wouldn't have to play, nor would Marshall Newhouse. But I think Sherrod has to get the nod over Marshall Newhouse from here on out. So I'm kind of leaving Lane Taylor, the undrafted rookie, out of the equation here. And I think he's a better option at guard than Marshall Newhouse is, as they showed during Thanksgiving. There is eight guys on the roster, and it does take, you know, three injuries to get all eight involved. So there's not exactly room for everybody here. But, yeah, I mean, that's the state of affairs on the Packers offensive line, that are dealing with injuries and illness this week and trying to figure out what kind of lineup they can put in there for practice, and wondering if it'll have to carry over to the games or not. Not a good situation, but hopefully the Packers get a dose of good health here before the Falcons game on Sunday. And that's what I kind of want to transition to here, is taking a little more look into this game here against the Falcons. And if it were any other team but the Falcons, I would feel a whole lot worse about a Packers team that is floundering. But they play a team that's, what is it, the Falcons are 3-9 this season. They're out of the playoffs. They are mathematically eliminated. That alone is a positive for me from a Packers perspective, being at home, being at Lambeau Field, being in the what's expected to be very cold weather this weekend, and potential snow as well. It is getting very wintry in Wisconsin at this time of year. In fact, here on a Friday, being very, very cold as well. So, you know, this is a team, the Falcons, the opponent that plays in a dome. Most of their road games are, you know, within the division, played in the southern section of the United States. I think it's going to be a little bit of a shock for this team. And I realize the Falcons kind of broke a losing streak this past weekend when they beat the Bills, and they kind of got back on track a little bit. And they do have talent there in Atlanta with Matt Ryan and Steven Jackson and Tony Gonzalez, etc., etc. But I just think coming up to Green Bay, the Packers are still alive for a playoff spot. They still have something to fight for. They're at home. They have the home field advantage. They're used to the cold. I think all those things favor the Packers, which will actually have me calling for a win. I don't think the Packers end the season on an 8-9 game winless streak. I'm not confident in the Packers at all right now. I am not. You know, coming off that 30-point loss to the Lions, who would be? Who would be? But you know, I don't think the Packers are going to finish the season on a 9-game winless streak. It's going to be broken at some time, and if it's going to be broken, What a better situation to break that streak than at home against a bad Falcons team. I mean, that to me looks like a better opportunity for a win as opposed to future games coming up against the Chicago Bears, against the Cowboys on the road, things like that. I don't see that happening. I mean, so much of it's going to depend on if Aaron Rodgers plays or not. But I think that the Packers get a win, let's say 24-21, close game. But I think they can get it done at Lambeau Field, if for no other reason than they're playing a really poor Falcons team that has underachieved this season. Do have talent there, but underachieving in Atlanta. So I think the Packers get the job done. Of course, the indication is that Matt Flynn is getting the starters reps at quarterback for the Packers with Aaron Rodgers sidelined. Aaron Rodgers actually practiced in pads yesterday on Thursday for the first time since breaking his collarbone. So that was a step in the right direction. But it was a small, minuscule step just because, you know, all the indications you're getting is that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is not going to play this weekend, even though they haven't technically ruled him out. I think Rodgers even said during his weekly radio show it would be Friday today or Saturday in which they make a final determination of whether he can play or not. But it's not looking good. You know, I just don't think he's ready to take a hit yet from what I'm hearing on that broken collarbone to his shoulder area. So I think they go with Matt Flynn. I saw the question on the live blog and this, you know, it scrolled by already, but somebody asked, do they stick with Flynn throughout the whole game? I mean, the easy answer to that question is it depends how he does. I mean, if the Packers are winning and they're very competitive, sure, I think they stick with Flynn. But if he throws two interceptions and the Packers are down by three scores, well, yeah, then maybe they make the switch to Scott Tolzien, who I do think has played fairly well this season in spite of, you know, his three interception game, in which I think that, you know, not really all those interceptions can be attributed to him alone. But that's beside the point. Looks like Matt Flynn's going to be the starter. They're preparing him to be. And I think Aaron Rodgers is inactive as of this moment. Who knows? Things could change. I'm leaving the door open to possibility that crazier things have happened. And maybe he plays. But, you know, the Packers on Friday, of course, come out with their injury report. in their game day status projections. You know, when they list players as probable, questionable, doubtful, or out. I think Aaron Rodgers will end up being listed as out. Well, maybe they'll list him as doubtful, just leaving open that crack of possibility that he plays. But anyway, and not looking good. And Matt Flynn starting in his stead for Aaron Rodgers. But, another interesting storyline this week has been about the Packers running game and Eddie Lacy in particular. The Packers had actually flirted with signing Steven Jackson this past offseason. And heck, you can throw your hand up on the live blog if you want. Because I know there was a lot of you calling for the Packers to sign Steven Jackson in the offseason. We had this discussion on this very Railbird Central show about that possibility, and there was a lot of people wanting the Packers to sign Steven Jackson, and I don't even know how to state it, as fate would have it, they didn't sign him, and how well that worked out for the Packers in the long run by drafting Eddie Lacy and going with the young buck instead of signing an aging Steven Jackson. And I think the Packers turned out much better in the long run for not signing the veteran in free agency and having to pay millions upon millions of dollars for doing so. Not a ton, but multi-million dollar contract to Steven Jackson. So, I think the Packers ended up making the right choice. And I know that, nobody's willing to admit it right now, but there was a lot of you people out there calling for the Packers to sign Steven Jackson. I know there was. There was a very vocal group of fans calling that the Packers should sign him. But things turned out the right way. Eddie Lacy is having a terrific rookie season in the NFL, going to be in the running for the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year. He may eventually get that award. Will depend on how perhaps the end of the season plays out here the last month or so. He stayed relatively healthy in Green Bay. Yeah, he missed, what was it, a game or two there kind of mid-year with a concussion. But other than that, I mean, he's taken his beating, and he's been out there. Eddie Lacy, he's dishing out beatings himself, lowering that shoulder and running over a few guys. But, he's basically been available when he wasn't taking shots from Brandon Merriweather or whoever that was that, sent him to the sidelines. I think I have that correct. But Eddie Lacy, I think he's tied the record for the most rushing touchdowns by a rookie in Green Bay. But with one more, he'll actually set the record. I could have that wrong, but anyway. Eddie Lacy having a terrific rookie season in Green Bay. No doubt about it in my mind. And so, he'll be a key. Eddie Lacy is a key in any game for as much as they've been giving him work this season. But you think, with the cold weather, with the backup quarterback, all these kind of factors combined, places a lot of importance on Eddie Lacy to do well in this matchup. They don't want to have Matt Flynn win the game for him if they don't have to. They want to give the ball to Eddie Lacy a lot and have him see success and putting the Packers in position to have success. Things like second and short, third and short, where it's a whole lot easier on Matt Flynn to complete short passes like that instead of having to complete the third and tens that are so hard to convert. So, of course, it'll be important. And I think, he'll do a better job than Steven Jackson will, for the Falcons, just based upon age, if nothing else, and Eddie Lacy being motivated to perform well. And of course, I hope he's complemented by James Starks. I've kind of been a proponent for the Packers to get James Starks a little more work than they have this season. I think he's more of a threat to break off a long one, maybe, than Eddie Lacy. Not that Lacy can't. But I just think, you know, it prevents also Lacy from taking more of a pounding than he perhaps should. So hopefully the Packers get him involved there. And then maybe also we'll see the debut of the Packers' new free agent signing, Khalil Bell, on Sunday as well. I think it's a long shot that he actually gets any work at running back unless there's injuries, and knock on wood, we hope there's not any more. But Khalil Bell, apparently the Packers have plans for him to play on special teams, on their coverage and blocking units. And, you know, they've left the door open to possibility that he'll be a returner. But I think as the quote went yesterday, Mike McCarthy's still looking at Micah Hyde as the kick returner, which I don't really get. I don't think there's any hurt at this point in using a Khalil Bell and see what he's got. But anyway, that's the direction the Packers are going. So be it. And going with Micah Hyde. But how many kickoff return opportunities are there anyway in this day and age in the NFL with how often they kick the ball out of the end zone or deep enough for a touchback? There's not that many opportunities for kickoff returns as it is. Of course, though, in the cold weather, when it's going to be below freezing at Lambeau Field, a little bit harder to kick that football. There are a few more kickoff returns in the cold weather, though, so got to take that into effect as well. But yeah, as I kind of sum up the show here, I predict a Packers win against a bad Falcons team. We're going 24-21. Packers stay alive, and then it depends upon what the Lions do. Packers and Lions play at the exact same time. It's a noon kickoff on Sunday. So I know fans will be, you know, watching the scoreboard in the corner of the screen and trying to see what they do, hoping that the Lions lose twice. But the Packers going to at least do their part and stay alive. The Lions don't have to lose this weekend. It would be beneficial if they did. But as long as the Packers win, they stay alive for another week and hope the Lions lose later. So I think that's what Packer fans are hoping for this week, at least a Packers win, and then praying for some Lions losses. But that'll do it on a Friday morning edition of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Thank you all so much for joining us on the show this morning. We'll be back on Monday for a recap edition of Railbird Central every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. On behalf of Jamie Snowden and I, Brian Caribou, stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your Packers news needs all week long, including on later today when the Packers release their injury report, etc. So we'll see you later, folks. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. I leave you today with a song called Ocean Billy by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.